show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. A Wednesday morning that might see a little bit of a slower start to harvest this morning. A pretty cool morning, and I noticed dew on the vehicle this morning as I went out to come to work. So it could be a little bit damp, which means we need the sun to get out and warm things up before we'll see the combines back in the field. All in all, though, going to be a fairly good day today. Don't see the scattered showers that rolled through parts of the province yesterday, which slowed down harvest in lots of different areas. Well, we have talked a lot about nation-building projects on this program since, essentially, since the election, since campaign promises were made, C5 was introduced. Now we're seeing the new major projects office being set up and announcements being made around that. This seems like a great time to connect with the federal government on this issue. And I'm happy to say that we've got the Canadian Minister of Natural Resources, Tim Hodgson, joining us by phone on the show this morning. Minister Hodgson, thank you so much for taking the call.
Thanks a lot, Evan. Good to be here.
I don't want to start this off on a controversial basis, but I understand you were a Bomber. You were a Bomber fan cheering for the Bombers through the Labor Day weekend.
Well, you know, it's a tough situation for me, Evan. My my grandmother was born in Moose Jaw, Northwest Territories, when Saskatchewan was still part of the Northwest Territories, and my family's gone back and forth. I grew up mostly in Winnipeg, but my parents lived in Saskatchewan for 15 years as I was a teenager, and so. Watching the games on Labor Day and the week after are always kind of tense, and I guess Saskatchewan got it this past weekend, and we'll see what happens on the next weekend.
Fair enough. We will. So let's start off with recently the federal government announced the new major projects office that is going to be launched. What do you see the significance of that office being?
Yes. So the Prime Minister and our party got elected because Canadians wanted us to get the country moving again. You know, unfortunately, we are in this world where we've had a trade war declared on us. We can't control what other countries do. We can control what we do. What we need to do is retool our economy, rebuild our infrastructure so we can sell to all of our allies and all of the markets that want to buy our products, not just the ones across the border. And what this major projects office is designed to do is get us doing that in the best and fastest possible way. So what the Prime Minister has been clear is the mandate of this major projects office will be to ensure that when proponents bring projects forward, they will know within 2 years what they need to do to operate. If we can do that, we will be the best best regulated country in the OECD. So I'm pretty excited about the launch of the Major Projects Office.
Recently, we heard the Prime Minister basically tell the Canadians, the public, that ports will be the kind of the first step into the nation building projects. Was this a tough decision for the federal government to come to? Because there's lots of asks on the table in terms of what that maybe first project could be.
Yeah, well, Evan, I learned a long time ago not to get out in front of my boss. So what the Prime Minister has said is in the next 2 weeks, we'll be announcing the first projects. I think we need to wait and see what they are. But a key theme of the projects you will see announced are major projects that help us get our products to global markets. You know, we for the last 40 years have organized our economy to sell to our biggest trading partner to the south. And that was a very good strategy when they believed in free trade and when they believed in multilateralism. The United States has decided to go a different direction. The United States has decided to charge people for access to their market by putting up tariff walls. We need to retool our economy so that we can sell our potash everywhere, where we can sell our uranium everywhere, where we can sell our copper everywhere, where we can sell our LNG and oil everywhere. And that's what the Major Projects Office is going to help get done.
Tim Hodgson is my guest, Canadian Minister for Natural Resources. I can tell you when cabinet appointments happened, there was a lot of people in the oil and gas industry that were happy to hear of your appointment. I'm curious, do you think this Liberal government, your Liberal government, is more, I'm going to put in quotes, oil and gas friendly than the Trudeau government was?
So I'm not going to comment on the previous government. I wasn't a part of that government. What I can comment on is this government. And what this government believes is we need to develop our natural resources in a responsible way. That means in the most environmentally responsible way, in conjunction with First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people. If we do that, it will be better for Canada. And that's what we're hearing from our allies. Our allies want our natural resources. If we are going to be in a trade war, we need to sell our products to those other allies. And that's what this government's dedicated to doing.
So we've heard, I think we're off to a good start in terms of relationship building. We've heard Premier Moe, Premier Smith out of Alberta talk about the importance of working with the federal government to strengthen economy, enhance investment. And like I said, it feels like we're off to a good start. They will also say that part of that includes a call from the provinces to the federal government to create conditions necessary for that to succeed. So that could be repealing or amending policies or legislations that maybe fly in the face of that goal. Do you expect to see the federal government to basically step back from some of the policies that might have been viewed as being inhibitive of progress, especially in the energy sector?
So what we're doing with Bill C-5, the Building Canada Act, is we put in place legislation that allows us to look at a particular project, look at the end results, and design an outcome where we get that project built in a responsible way from an environment perspective and in conjunction with First Nations. I know others have called for ripping up legislation. In my experience, when you rip up legislation in any democracy I've ever seen, you replace it with something else. I don't think Canadians want to spend the time arguing and fighting about what the new legislation is going to look like or debating what's going to happen in front of the Supreme Court. That takes time. Canadians need us to and want us to start building. The Building Canada Act, which we passed in record time, is designed to do that. And we will use that to get these projects built.
So on that note, there was a loud shout from many parts of Canada. I'm sure you heard it loud and clear when the carbon tax was pulled back and the dial was turned down to zero. Many Canadians across Canada felt as if it was adding to the overall cost of living crisis in the country. Some will point to the clean fuel regulations and say it will, over time, have the same impact. Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre is pointing at it, saying it's the carbon tax 2.0. How do you see the clean fuel regulations playing into cost of living discussions that will be happening, obviously, over the next few years?
So the clean fuel regulations are part of the environment ministry, and that's Minister De Bruzin. And I know she is working hard to make sure our climate competitiveness approach helps deliver what we have said we will do, which is we will build projects in an environmentally responsible way, and we will do it in conjunction with First Nations. I'm not going to get into that legislation because that's her legislation, but what I can tell you is what Canadians expect us to do is build major projects that will create jobs for Canadians, that will use Canadian steel, like steel produced in Regina, that will create tax revenues for the provincial government and the federal government to fund the programs that Canadians expect from their government. And it will deliver the types of critical minerals and energy products that our allies want from us in a world where we need to deliver cards. We need to deliver cards to our allies. We need to have cards to play, and we need to take cards out of other people's hands. You know, controlling where we send our energy and natural resources is putting cards in our hands and taking them out of Donald Trump's hand. And that's what we're going to do.
Would you put LNG as one of those cards, Minister?
Absolutely. You know, it was really interesting. I spent 3 days in Germany last week. It was a really interesting discussion because the Germans, who are pretty environmentally responsible people, believe LNG is a critical long transition fuel to a cleaner world. What we heard loud and clear from the Germans is, given what's happening in the world with from geopolitics, given how much more electricity we are going to use because of artificial intelligence and other drivers of electricity, that they are going to need more LNG than they previously thought, and they are going to need it for longer. And what we heard very clearly from the German government and from German industry is they went from relying on the Russians for their natural gas. That wasn't a good outcome. They don't want to be beholden to one new supplier for LNG, the United States. They want an alternative. They look at Canadian LNG. They see it as has the lowest carbon footprint of any LNG in the world because of the way we produce it. It's responsibly produced. It's provided by an ally they share common values with, and they want to buy it. I believe Canadians think it's a good idea to help our allies with that commodity. And if it puts Canadians to work and it uses Canadian steel, and it puts revenues in the provincial and federal treasuries so that we can fund programs that Canadians want, I think that's what Canadians expect us to do. So I would absolutely put LNG in that bucket.
Short question with probably a large answer, but just in a nutshell, what needs to happen to get us there with LNG?
So the good news is we have started shipping our first LNG. We started shipping it this summer. There are two more large facilities under construction in British Columbia right now. There are several more projects that are just about through their regulatory reviews and could be in construction in less than 12 months. And there's more projects on the drawing board. So I think it's a it's an exciting time for Canadians.
We're almost out of time, Minister Hodgson. Just a couple quick things. It's been said, we've had this conversation on our program many times, that Canada's carbon footprint is quite minuscule compared to other countries like China and India on the world stage. Is there an argument to be made that Canada can be a leader on the world stage in terms of carbon emission reduction by helping the big emitters lower their footprint by maybe providing LNG, chipping away internationally on something like that, as opposed to focusing inward, which many people attribute to a cost of living, an increase here in Canada?
Yeah, I'll come back to the conversations with our German allies. Given the geopolitics in the world today, given what's happening with electricity demand, more LNG is going to be used in the world. We produce the cleanest LNG footprint of any producer anywhere in the world. When our allies are looking for that, we have an opportunity to be a good partner, to put Canadians to work, to earn revenues so that we can provide the social programs we want here in Canada. And that's what we should be doing.
Have you got any last words? We're under a minute left here, Minister, but Saskatchewan's a province with a lot of natural resources, which is your portfolio. What is your message to Saskatchewan about the future of our province and our country?
So I think there's a bright future for Saskatchewan. You know, one of the things that I have chatted with Premier Moe about is just how diversified the Saskatchewan economy is. If you look at Saskatchewan, it probably has the most diverse economy in terms of the different products that it sells to the world of any province in Canada. That's a bright future in a world where we can get those products to market and where our allies around the world are looking for alternatives to countries that are no longer believe in free trade. So I think it's a bright future for us.
Minister, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for giving us a call today.
Okay. We'll watch the game this weekend, and I'll be thinking of you.
Minister Tim Hodgson, Canadian Minister of Natural Resources. We'll take a break. We'll come back, break down that conversation, and open up phone lines, text lines to hear from you at 1-877-332-8255. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All we come to be heroes. Great to have you here today. Tim Hodgson is the guest that we just had a conversation with, the Canada's Minister of Natural Resources. Appreciate him taking the time. That we've been working on getting that interview set up now for quite some time. Given the fact that they have announced the Federal Major Projects Office being set up, going to be set up in Calgary, I'm looking forward to actually having a bit of a continuation of this conversation with Brian Zinchuk coming up at 10 o'clock. He's got some thoughts on who they have selected to run that office and what that might look like. We'll talk about that at 10 o'clock. But between the conversation we had with Tim Hodgson, the Minister of Natural Resources, and the starting of the show conversation with Saskatchewan's Minister of Health, Jeremy Cockerell, there's lots to unpack, lots to talk about. Phone lines officially open at 1-877-332-8255. We are currently having a few complications with our text line. We're working on it. I hope that we can get it up and running here in the next few minutes. Open lines for you next here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. I don't want to be anything other than what I've been. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Evan Bray. Open lines for the next half hour, 1-877-332-8255. Yes, we have the text line up and running, which is good news. Which first text I saw, a note from Bill, Shelbrooke, 2 kilometers north of Shelbrooke this morning, -2. frosty start to the day. Some people are saying at least it takes care of the mosquitoes for us over the next little while. But yeah, that's a cool start. We shouldn't hopefully not see it be that cold over the next little while. Things will warm up a little bit as we get closer to the weekend. Well, we just had a conversation with the Canadian Minister of Natural Resources, Tim Hodgson. I feel like there was a couple of answers that he gave without saying the words. So one of the questions that I asked was, will you be looking, will the federal government be looking to change some of the policies that many see as inhibitive? You've got the idea of nation building projects. We want to move resources to other markets, expand our trade. However, oil and gas predominantly affected negatively by many different policies that are in place. Clean fuel regulations, for an example. Will you be removing those? I think we clearly heard no. He never came right out and said it. He said something to the effect of, it's been my experience that when you remove one policy, you just replace it with something similar, which many people will say the clean fuel regulations are. In fact, you'll remember we chatted with Pierre Polyev here a couple of weeks ago. He talked about it being the carbon tax 2.0. Yes, the carbon tax was removed, but clean fuel regulations, many feel, and the Parliamentary Budget Office has already indicated, it will add a certain percentage to costs. Pretty hard to nail it down. There was a report by the Parliamentary Budget Office that said it could be around 17 cents a liter for gas, 16 cents a liter for diesel by the year 2030, which many will point to. That was where we were at with the carbon tax when it was removed here a few months back. 1-877-332-8255. Did you hear something from the federal minister that leads you to believe it's going to be different? That was another question I asked him. Will your government, will this version of the Liberal government be more friendly to oil and gas than the previous government was? He again said, I wasn't part of that government. I don't want to comment on the Trudeau government, but, you know, went on to talk about optimistic about some of the different projects that are happening here. Yet to be determined, and that's what a lot of people are saying, the rubber has to hit the road to determine, is this going to make a difference? I'm not convinced in that interview that we heard an indication that things were going to change from a policy or regulation standpoint. All right, let's go to the phone line, the text line, 1-877-332-8255. We'll start with Paul. How are you today, Paul? Hello, Paul. Have I got you there? Oh, something's happened with Paul. We'll put him back on hold. We'll come back to him in a second. We'll go to Les in Corning. How are you this morning, Les?
A little chilly, but I'm doing good.
What did temperature gauge show in your neck of the woods this morning?
Well, mine said +2.
Okay, +2. We've heard -2 in some parts. Lots of zeros out there as well. But yeah, it's cool. It was a cool start to the day for sure. What do you think? You listened to the interview with Tim Hodgson. Do you feel like things are going to change? Are we better off than we were before, or is this same old, same old?
Same old, same old. There was more gaslighting went on in that conversation than nothing out of the ordinary for a liberal, I guess. But, yeah, in about a year, we'll be looking at projects. Well, it's going to take a year in order for this project office to get all set up. And, of course, they got to hire employees. And then they start doing environmental assessment impact. And, well, that'll take about another year. And then the company that they want to bring in, well, I'll guarantee the company they want is related through Brookfield, and Tim Hodgins and Carney are investors, and well, First Nations say they aren't going to do any projects like to put a pipeline or anything through. So there goes the idea of a port. And
So the pipeline, I'm just going to jump in for a second, Les, because the pipeline topic is an interesting one. And we'll talk more about this just after 10. We've got Brian Zinchuk joining us. Brian, though, pointing out that it's the former Trans Mountain CEO that will be heading the major projects office in Calgary. So it will be interesting, because there are some people saying there are subtle indications that a pipeline could be one of the projects identified in these nation building projects, yet to be determined. So far, ports is really all that we have heard. 1-877-332-8255. Jerry says oil and gas regulations aren't going to change. And it doesn't seem like you can get a straight answer out of a politician, which is, I mean, you end up reading between the lines. The question that I asked, you know, will we see a reversal of some of these policies that people feel are prohibitive to the oil and gas industry? Many, I think, listening to that interview come away with the thought, no, we're not going to see that. We're not going to see that change. Whether this government will get things done, will we actually see some of these projects come to fruition? On the text line, a number of people saying, look, there have been some positives. I've got a text here from Gary saying, I'm not a liberal voter, nor am I a liberal supporter, but I will be the first to admit that we have seen some positive momentum on a couple of things that in all of the years with Trudeau, we didn't see. I'm going to continue to try and remain optimistic, and I hope that our province, Alberta, and other Western provinces hold the federal government's feet to the fire. 1-877-332-8255. Clint in Lumsden, all I hear is talk from the Liberals. When are we going to get some action? My worry is they will continue to talk until they think they can win a majority government, and then the West is really in trouble. Mike in Saskatoon, this government wants to pick winners and losers in business. They don't care about the economy, just their friends. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open. I'm going to go to Perry in Osler. Perry, you've got some concern when it comes to LNG. You're saying we shouldn't be going ahead with anything, including LNG, as long as the carbon tax is still in the discussion.
Exactly. This is from the frying pan into the fire. So if they actually let something go ahead, they're saying, here's some money. We'll give you some licensing, leave it go ahead, but we'll control it all. So their involvement in it is too much. It should go underneath the private industry. And anything they get involved in is going to cost easily three times as much as it should be. And like I said, they're going to control it. So, yeah, so it's from the frying pan into the fire. And you know what? All these projects, they would have went ahead 20 years ago. But fucking Stephen Harper on them already. And they were going to do it without a carbon tax and partner with private enterprise. And private enterprise would have took the risk on this.
Well, and I was going to say, we know that private enterprise not going to invest if they think there's federal policy that's going to be prohibitive to success.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
1-877-332-8255 is the number. Phone lines, text lines continue to be open. Dylan with a text that says, here's my question to listeners. How much better is everyone's life since they got rid of the customer-facing carbon tax? I bet most people aren't any better off because companies like Loblaws and large corporations continue to steal from the average person. Remember the bread scandal when everyone admitted that prices were fixed and gave everyone $21, but the price never changed. Ha ha ha. Dylan. 1-877-332-8255. Ross. With a text from Viscount. I thought Tim Hodgson was smarter than that. He says Germany came to us for LNG to get off Russian gas. Tim, Russia invaded Ukraine over 3 years ago, and I was screaming at the time that we had LNG to sell and lots of countries in Europe. We would have gotten rich and would have been a hero for all of Europe back then. Our government failed us then and continue to fail us now. 1-877-332-8255. Let's grab one more call before we take our next break. Let's go to Steve in Regina. Steve, welcome to the show. Your thoughts this morning.
Good morning, Ev. How are you today?
Good, good.
Thanks for taking the call. Yeah, I was listening to, and obviously throughout Saskatchewan and Western Province, I think the sentiment is pretty clear when it comes to Liberals, but it's really quite astonishing. And, you know, people listen to these guys. He comes in, and I found it quite ironic that you said it's taken a while to organize an interview with this guy, and they haven't sat in caucus for 11 months while they get $350,000 or close to it a year. And you know, and now here the Liberals are having a strategy session in Toronto on the taxpayer dime before we reconvene. This guy, he goes on to say, well, we've got the most diverse economy in Saskatchewan, clapping his hands, and oh, yay, Saskatchewan. Ask the question, what has our fearless leader Mark Carney done with China in regards to the canola tariffs that are pending on our agriculture sector? What progress have we made? We've been hearing for 11 months national infrastructure, and I will, like your earlier caller, I will guarantee you 4 years of MP salary. I will guarantee it on the table. We will not get anything done. He goes on to say, well, LNG, the most ethically and clean sourced LNG in the world, yet they're standing behind a clean fuel tax for Canadian citizens. He just finished saying we provide the cleanest LNG in the world, yet we better impose a clean fuel tax on Canadian citizens because they're not taxed enough in this country. And it goes on and on and on. Trudeau said for 10 years there's no business model for LNG. Carney was a senior advisor to the Liberal government through the whole term. And now all of a sudden they're saying, oh, we've got the best trade deal with the U.S., which is part of NAFTA, obviously, as we know, so that's just a bunch of crap. And now all of a sudden LNG is going to, we're going to save Canada with LNG. For the past 10 years, Trudeau said, no, we're going to do hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't hold these guys, you know, nobody says, hey, no, wait a second. This is, you can say that all you want, but what have we done for the canola industry, right? Carney flies to Europe for a photo op instead of meeting with China. And it's just this Liberal government, and I just cannot believe the number of voters in this country that just continue to vote for a government that's incompetent. They just sit there and parrot and talk and say the same buzzwords, and it's astonishing. You know, we're following the UK. People just, we're going to vote ourselves into oblivion in this country, and it's astonishing.
1-877-332-8255. There are a lot of people listening that I know at the ballot box tried to hold the Trudeau government, the Liberal government, accountable, yet the election, of course, didn't end up the way many people thought that it was going to. And as a result, we're continuing down the path of a federal Liberal government. Some will say an adjusted path. Others will say just a renamed path, but same direction as before. What do you think? Your thoughts continue here on Open Lines, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. A number of text messages in to the text line saying something big is going down in Richmond this morning. Number of police cars there, including police cars from Regina and Saskatoon. They're calling it, a couple of the texters calling it a raid. We've had a handful now that have come in advising something is going on in Richmond. What it is, of course, we don't know. I am assuming, maybe wrong, but I am assuming it's got to do with Romana Didulo. So we know that the self-proclaimed Queen of Canada has been residing in what's an old school building there, privately owned building now. The homeowner, the landlord, the owner of the building, owner of the property has allowed Romana Didulo and her followers to stay there. So there's a handful of people that have been living there and living there now for a couple of years. We just recently talked with the RCMP about it. They said it's regular conversations. They're having regular, part of a regular operational plan. We know there were charges laid recently for assault against an officer of the person who owns that property. We know that many of the people that live in the small community are still worried about their safety, worried about letting their children play in the community, all of those types of things. So we will continue to follow this closely, but the news coming in on the text line that there is some sort of a big raid, investigation of some sort happening in Richmond this morning with numerous, dozens actually, of police vehicles there, not just the RCMP, but from other municipal police as well. So we'll continue to follow that along and keep you posted. I wanted to mention this, the Doug Ford news conference yesterday, where he was very frustrated at Crown Royal, the company that owns Crown Royal, which of course we know is mashed, distilled, aged in Canada, but one of the Ontario bottling plants has been closed down. Jobs are moving south of the border, and the premier was frustrated.
I don't even drink of Crown Oil, right? I see that Crown Oil. I saw it at home. So this is what I think about Crown Oil. That's what they could do. And I think everyone else should do the same thing. Start supporting companies that make whiskey here by Ontario people. That's what we need to do, is support each other. You know something? I'm going to make this even come out quicker.
So he's holding the bottle of Crown Royal. He's got a, I think it was a 40, I don't know, but he's dumping it out. And you could see the people standing in the background. Some were laughing, some were smiling, some were clapping. I would say some whiskey drinkers were thinking, oh boy, that's a waste of a good bottle of Crown Royal whiskey. Nonetheless, some of the bottling operations that have been existing in Canada, which is particularly the Ontario plant, moving south of the border. They're saying it's to be closer to their many U.S. customers. 200 jobs affected. And Doug Ford says The company's executives are about as dumb as a bag of hammers for making that move and dumped out a bottle of Crown Royal in the news conference to prove his point. Okay, let's take a break. We'll continue on oil, gas, and energy discussion with our friend Brian Zinchuk, who joins us next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.